The following is a review of the financial reporting and analysis principles designed to address the learning outcome statements set forth by CFA Institute. This topic is also covered in long-lived assets. The first LOS requires us to distinguish between costs that are capitalized and costs that are expensed in the period in which they are incurred. When a firm makes an expenditure, it can either capitalize the cost as an asset on the balance sheet or expense the cost in the income statement in the period incurred. As a general rule, an expenditure that is expected to provide a future economic benefit over multiple accounting periods is capitalized. However, if the future economic benefit is unlikely or highly uncertain, the expenditure is expensed in the period incurred. An expenditure that is capitalized is initially recorded as an asset on the balance sheet at cost, typically its fair value at acquisition, plus any costs necessary to prepare the asset for use. Except for land and intangible assets with indefinite lives, such as acquisition goodwill, the cost is then allocated to the income statement over the life of the asset as depreciation expense for tangible assets or amortization expense for intangible assets with finite lives. Alternatively, if an expenditure is expensed, current period pre-tax income is reduced by the amount of the expenditure. Once an asset is capitalized, subsequent related expenditures that provide more future economic benefits, for example, rebuilding the asset, are also capitalized. Subsequent expenditures that merely sustain the usefulness of the asset, such as regular maintenance, are expensed when incurred. When a firm constructs an asset for its own use, or in limited circumstances for resale, the interest that accrues during the construction period is capitalized as a part of the asset's cost. The reasons for capitalizing interest are to accurately measure the cost of the asset and to better match the cost with the revenues generated by the constructed asset. The treatment of construction interest is similar under U.S. GAAP and IFRS. Capitalized interest is not reported in the income statement as interest expense. Once construction interest is capitalized, the interest cost is allocated to the income statement through depreciation expense if the asset is held for use, or cost of goods sold if the asset is held for sale. Generally, capitalized interest is reported in the cash flow statement as an outflow from investing activities, while interest expense is reported as an outflow from operating activities. The next LOS is to compare the financial reporting of the following types of intangible assets: purchased, internally developed, acquired in a business combination. Intangible assets are long-term assets that lack physical substance, such as patents, brand names, copyrights, and franchises. Some intangible assets have finite lives, while others have indefinite lives. The cost of a finite-lived intangible asset is amortized over its useful life. Indefinite-lived intangible assets are not amortized, but are tested for impairment at least annually. If impaired, the reduction in value is recognized in the income statement as a loss in the period in which the impairment is recognized. Intangible assets are also considered either identifiable or unidentifiable. Under IFRS, an identifiable intangible asset must be capable of being separated from the firm or arise from a contractual or legal right, controlled by the firm, and expected to provide future economic benefits. In addition, the future economic benefits must be probable and the asset's cost must be reliably measurable. An unidentifiable intangible asset is one that cannot be purchased separately and may have an indefinite life. The most common example of an unidentifiable intangible asset is goodwill. Goodwill is the excess of purchase price over the fair value of the identifiable assets, net of liabilities, acquired in a business combination. Not all intangible assets are reported on the balance sheet. Accounting for an intangible asset depends on whether the asset was created internally, purchased externally, or obtained as a part of a business combination. With some exceptions, costs to create intangible assets internally by a firm are expensed as incurred. Important exceptions are research and development costs under IFRS and software development costs. Under IFRS, research costs, which are costs aimed at the discovery of new scientific or technical knowledge and understanding, are expensed as incurred. However, development costs may be capitalized. Development costs are incurred to translate research findings into a plan or design of a new product or process. To recognize an intangible asset in development, a firm must show that it can complete the asset and intends to use or sell the completed asset, among other criteria. Under U.S. GAAP, both research and development costs are generally expensed as incurred. One exception is software development costs. However, the costs of creating software for sale to others are treated in a manner similar to the treatment of research and development costs under IFRS. Costs incurred to develop software for sale to others are expensed as incurred until the product's technological feasibility has been established, after which the costs of developing a saleable product are capitalized. Like tangible assets, an intangible asset purchased from another party is initially recorded on the balance sheet at cost, typically its fair value at acquisition. If the intangible asset is purchased as part of a group, the total purchase price is allocated to each asset on the basis of its fair value. For analytical purposes, an analyst is usually more interested in the type of asset acquired rather than the value assigned on the balance sheet. For example, recently acquired franchise rights may provide insight into the firm's future operating performance. In this case, the allocation of cost is not as important. The financial statement effects of capitalizing intangible assets are the same as the effects of capitalizing other expenditures. Capitalizing results in higher net income in the first year and lower net income in the subsequent years. Similarly, assets, equity, and operating cash flow are all higher when expenditures are capitalized. The acquisition method is used to account for business combinations. Under the acquisition method, the purchase price is allocated to the identifiable assets and liabilities of the acquired firm on the basis of fair value. Any remaining amount of the purchase price is recorded as goodwill. Goodwill is said to be an unidentifiable asset that cannot be separated from the business itself. Only goodwill created in a business combination is capitalized on the balance sheet. The costs of internally generated goodwill are expensed in the period incurred. The next LOS is to explain and evaluate how capitalizing versus expensing costs in the period in which they are incurred affects financial statements and ratios. Although it may make no operational difference, the choice between capitalizing costs and expensing them will affect net income, shareholders' equity, total assets, cash flow from operations, cash flow from investing, and numerous financial ratios. Capitalizing an expenditure delays the recognition of an expense in the income statement. Thus, in the period that an expenditure is capitalized, the firm will report higher net income compared to immediately expensing. In subsequent periods, the firm will report lower net income compared to expensing, as the capitalized expenditure is allocated to the income statement through depreciation expense. This allocation process reduces the variability of net income by spreading the expense over multiple periods. Conversely, if a firm expenses an expenditure in the current period, net income is reduced by the after-tax amount of the expenditure. In subsequent periods, no allocation of cost is necessary. Thus, net income in future periods is higher than if the expenditure had been capitalized. Over the life of an asset, total net income is identical whether the asset's cost is capitalized or expensed. Timing of the expense recognition in the income statement is the only difference. Because capitalization results in higher net income in the period of the expenditure compared to expensing, it also results in higher shareholders' equity because retained earnings are greater. Total assets are greater with capitalization, and liabilities are unaffected, so the accounting equation, assets equal liabilities plus equity, remains balanced. As the cost is allocated to the income statement in subsequent periods, net income, retained earnings, and shareholders' equity will be reduced. If the expenditure is immediately expensed, retained earnings and shareholders' equity will reflect the entire reduction in net income in the period of the expenditure. A capitalized expenditure is usually reported in the cash flow statement as an outflow from investing activities. If immediately expensed, the expenditure is reported as an outflow from operating activities. Thus, capitalizing an expenditure will result in higher operating cash flow and lower investing cash flow compared to expensing. Assuming no differences in tax treatment, total cash flow will be the same. The classification of the cash flow is the only difference. Recall that when an expenditure is capitalized, depreciation expense is recognized in subsequent periods. Depreciation is a non-cash expense and, aside from any tax effects, does not affect operating cash flow. Capitalizing an expenditure initially results in higher assets and higher equity compared to expensing. Thus, both the debt-to-assets ratio and the debt-to-equity ratio are lower because they have larger denominations with capitalization. Capitalizing an expenditure will initially result in higher return on assets and higher return on equity. This is the result of higher net income in the first year. In subsequent years, return on assets and return on equity will be lower for a capitalizing firm because net income is reduced by the depreciation expense. Because an expensing firm recognizes the entire expense in the first year, return on assets and return on equity will be lower in the first year and higher in the subsequent years. After the first year, net income is higher and assets and equity are lower than they would be if the firm had capitalized the expenditures. Analysts must be careful when comparing firms because expensing in the period an expenditure is incurred gives the appearance of growth after the first year. The interest coverage ratio measures a firm's ability to make required interest payments on its debt. In the year of the expenditure, capitalizing interest results in lower interest expense compared to expensing. The result is a higher interest coverage ratio when interest is capitalized. Many analysts calculate the interest coverage ratio based on total interest expense, including capitalized interest. Because the interest is a required payment, this may be a better measure of the firm's solvency. Treating the capitalized interest as interest expense for analytical purposes reduces the interest coverage ratio. Bond rating agencies often make this adjustment. The next LOS requires us to describe the different depreciation methods for property, plant, and equipment and calculate depreciation expense. Depreciation is the systematic allocation of an asset's cost over time. Two important terms are carrying value and historical cost. Carrying value or book value is the net value of an asset or liability on the balance sheet. For property, plant, and equipment, carrying value equals historical cost minus accumulated depreciation. Historical cost is the original purchase price of the asset, including installation and transportation costs. Historical cost is also known as gross investment in the asset. Depreciation is a real and significant operating expense. Even though depreciation doesn't require current cash expenditures, it is an expense nonetheless and cannot be ignored. The analyst must decide whether the reported depreciation expense is more or less than economic depreciation, which is the actual decline in the value of the asset over the period. One chain of video rental stores was found to be overstating income by depreciating its stock of movies by equal amounts each year. In fact, a greater portion of the decrease in the value of newly released movies occurs in the first year. Depreciating the rental assets by a greater amount during the first year would have better approximated economic depreciation and reduced reported income. Depreciation of a capitalized asset may be reported using straight-line, accelerated, or units of production methods. Straight-line depreciation is the predominant method of computing depreciation for financial reporting. Depreciation is the same amount each year over the asset's estimated life and is calculated as original cost minus salvage value divided by depreciable life. With an accelerated depreciation method, more depreciation expense is recognized in the early years of an asset's life and less depreciation expense in the later years. Thus, compared to straight-line depreciation, accelerated depreciation results in lower net income in the early years of an asset's life and higher net income in the later years. One often used accelerated depreciation method is the double declining balance method. Double declining balance depreciation in a year is calculated as 2 divided by the depreciable life in years multiplied by the carrying value at the beginning of the year. Salvage value is not in the formula for double declining balance depreciation. However, once the carrying value of the asset reaches the salvage value, no additional depreciation expense is recognized. Depreciation under the units of production method is based on usage rather than time. Depreciation expense is higher in periods of high usage. Units of production depreciation is calculated as original cost minus salvage value divided by life in output units multiplied by output units in the period. IFRS requires firms to depreciate the components of an asset separately, thereby requiring useful life estimates for each component. For example, a building is made up of a roof, walls, flooring, electrical systems, plumbing, and many other components. Under component depreciation, the useful life of each component is estimated and depreciation expense is computed separately for each. Component depreciation is allowed under U.S. GAAP, but is seldom used.